And the time is 5 o'clock.
Proudly providing an alternative to commercial radio since 1999, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Listener-driven, never corporate-programmed, this is independent radio. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Good afternoon, friends. Ron Robinson here with another edition of Pages, Radio for Readers, here for you for the next half hour. What's on at the Winnipeg Public Library? A quick look at the New Uniter, just out today. Reader's Book of Days, Walter Brenton, a little bit of Leroy Anderson, all coming up this half hour. Quick look at the weather. Indeed, last I saw, sunny skies, -8 with a wind chill of -13. Looking ahead to tonight, clear to start, cloudy overnight, low expected to be -14. Then for Friday, we start with a mix of sun and cloud, the expected high on Friday, -8. We like it, and more of the same. Thank you. I'm looking at the Uniter, which I just picked up for you, and I see a little reminder here about cabin fever. And we're getting into it. Cabin Fever returns at Cinematheque. Annual family-oriented movie series runs out of the Dave Barber Cinematheque. 8 weeks of kids' films, all free to the public. Next showing is on January the 11th, this coming Sunday, featuring Lilo and Stitch, certified classic animated film that just so happens to feature the vocal performance of local comedian Kevin MacDonald. Full listings of screenings, go to Cinematheque. Go to their website, it's the easiest thing for you to do. You can check it out, pick it up, and you can also pick up the little handout that covers the month at a glance. It's one thing to see the other movies that are going to be appearing, yes. Also in this week's Uniter, I see again, nice, page 14 is the entire schedule for CKUW. What's on, where, when, color shaded to indicate to you spoken word from music to even the possibility of your show here. Just to tease you, if you'd like to come and join us here. That's in this week's Uniter, which, of course, not everything is online when they make the Uniter available to you, but most of the articles are. So the big insert for today is food. Carter Chen's go-to places to eat in Winnipeg. He lists 7 of them. I'm not going to mention them. I haven't eaten there. But he gives you address and websites, etc., and pictures to make you drool. That's in this week's edition of the Uniter, which you can pick up here, as I say, on campus. Occasionally, I see it around elsewhere, certainly in the Winnipeg Public Library system from time to time, place to place. And, as I say, you can read it online, too, by going to the Uniter and look for the latest issue. I am looking at the website for the Winnipeg Public Library because I've gone to their programs listings, and I spied my little eye, Weird But True. That seemed appropriate to me. Weird but true. Somebody at the door. Well, I'll have to see if there's anybody out there. Weird but true. Did you know that you use 200 muscles to take one step? Most kangaroos are left-handed, and that apples float but pears sink. Entertain your friends. Bore the pants off your parents with learn more weird but true facts than try to beat the clock playing. Well, you're going to have to go check this out. Saturday, January the 10th. It's coming Saturday then, 2 to 3. In the program room of the West Kiltonan Library for children ages 9 to 12. You have to register, but that's all right. There are 19 seats left. You're in with a chance. Couple of things you can't get into because they're full. Ooh, I just lost everything here. Well, let's flip on through. Well, the yarn, yes, too late for that. Yes, too late for that. Full house for this, for that. Making with macrame. It pays to be, I'd say, a couple of weeks ahead on these things. However, Top Docs, The Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill. This is at the Carol Shields Auditorium. To be seen then, at Millennium Library, on Saturday from 2 to 3:30. The Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill. The true story of a Bohemian St. Francis and his remarkable relationship with a flock of wild red and green parrots. Mark Bittner, former street musician in San Francisco, falls in with the flock as... .. You have to go to the website to learn more here. That's the program listings for the Winnipeg Public Library. Anyways, the documentary this Saturday, January the 10th, 2 to 3:30 in the Carol Shields Auditorium, Millennium Library, Walk right in, sit right down. It's an open event. You can just drop in for that. At 5 minutes after five, possibly a poem for today. The poem for today comes from a week ago. We couldn't get to it. But I thought we'd go back to it. Why? Because the lady who put these all together, well, did the foreword at any rate, Wendy Cope, and so they've included one of her poems, which is titled Bloody Men from 1987. She says, bloody men are like bloody buses. You wait for about a year, and as soon as one approaches your stop, two or three others appear. You look at them, flashing their indicators, offering you a ride. You're trying to read the destinations. You haven't much time to decide. If you make a mistake, there's no turning back. Jump off, and you'll stand there and gaze while the cars and the taxis and lorries go by, and the minutes, the hours, the days. At 8 minutes after five, Wendy says, now that she's older, she has glasses and can read the buses as they approach her. Looking at the Free Press book pages from last Saturday, the big book, picture of Mr. Trump, President Trump and Joe Biden squaring off there. The book is called Retribution, Donald Trump and the Campaign That Changed America, as reviewed by Matt Henderson. So who wrote this? Well, ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl modeled this type of inquiry in his latest book. Rich questions. I mean, history teachers of historical thinking and how historians think, often invite learners to analyze the causes and consequences certain individuals, movements, and moments. What happened and why? He finishes his review. That's Matt Henderson, superintendent of the Winnipeg School Division. Saw his name in the paper the other day. Retribution is an important insight into what happens when a society defunds public education. The billionaire class steals all three levels of government, and the vulnerable are scapegoated and ridiculed. Cautionary tale for all those who wish to create a just and democratic society. Just societies that require work, sacrifice, and focus on community. As reviewed in last Saturday's Winnipeg Free Press as well, Jared Tomiskiw reviews Ray Robertson's book, Dust, More Lives of the Poets, with guitars, that is. So he's a Canadian writer, author of nearly 20 works of fiction, but in this case, who are we talking about? Dust contains enough diversity of time, place, and subject to provide something of interest to nearly any reader. Stylistically, it's a work that can be read in fits and starts. Though the temptation to read just one more chapter is difficult to resist. Picture here of Muddy Waters and Ray Robertson himself, I guess. Play a little bit of music. A big star pictured here as well. That book, Dust, More Lives of the Poets, brackets, with guitars, that is. Up to you to figure that out. As well, speaking of, I see a review, favorable as well, by Bill Rambo of Bread of Angels, a memoir by Patti Smith, the punk rocker who blazed in the late 70s. Debut album, Horses. Just been reissued, by the way, as a 50th anniversary edition. Yes, you're right. She's 79, has released multiple memoirs. This one titled Bread of Angels, a memoir, reviewed favorably in last Saturday's Free Press, I should say. Not a tell-all or an in-depth analysis of music, Bread of Angels poignantly and satisfyingly expresses what has been important to Patti Smith. Leave it there. That's the pages of the Winnipeg Free Press. Saturday book pages. It's use it or lose it, folks. I was in my library, which is the Harvey Smith Library in the Cindy Klassen Complex on Sargent, and I saw this on the new arrivals table and snagged it. Exo Orpheus. 50 new myths. I thought, new myths? But you've got Orpheus in the title. 50 leading writers retell their favorite myths from around the world in this book of boundless wonder and invention. Icarus flies once more. Aztec jaguar gods again stalk the earth. Now, the book says the back, if XO signals a goodbye, then XO Orpheus is a goodbye to an old way of myth-making. A book that boldly hearkens a new beginning for one of the world's oldest literary traditions. Well, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Although, you have to admit, we play from time to time Professor Jane Cahill's retelling of the myths, and very good it is. So here's one for you, then, put together by Joy Williams. A retelling of Argos. A-R-G-O-S. Argos. Perhaps you've read of me. I'm the hound old Argos. I once belonged to the hero Odysseus some 2,800 years ago. Homer granted me a few lines in his epic. He presented me in a pathetic light. Cast away on piles of dung from mules and cattle, infested with ticks, half dead from neglect. I had waited for my absent master for 20 years, and when he returned, he came in the guise of a beggar, a mangy tramp, a bag of bones. This was calculation, this deception, this final triumphant wile of the wily Ulysses. I alone recognized him. I thumped my tail in joy. I hadn't the strength to drag myself an inch toward him. He did not acknowledge me. He did not place his hand on my bony head or stroke my withered flanks. A friendly touch from him would have meant the world to me, of course. I had often dreamed of his return, which I had long associated with happiness. I cannot tell you why his wife and son did not take care of me those long years, or why their servants were so cruel. There is much that animals do not understand. I do know, however, that Homer did not invent me. I was always Argos. It is Homer, indeed, who in all probability did not exist as an individual, his words being the imaginings of many. It was even said that Odysseus flicked away a tear when he beheld me, though I did not see it, as the hero had turned his back on me. From Exo Orpheus, 50 New Myths. I'm going to put this back in the library, of course, and if you want to read the rest of this story, well, you're going to have to A, look it up, or B, take Exo Orpheus, 50 New Myths, out of the library. Time for a song about a dog? ¶¶
absolutely unselfish friend that a man can have in this selfish world. The one that never deserts him. The one that never proves ungrateful or treacherous is his dog. A fellow's dog will stand by him in prosperity or poverty, in health or in sickness. He will sleep on the cold ground where the winter winds blow and the snow drives fiercely, if only he can be near his master's side. He'll kiss the hand that has no food to offer. He guards the sleep of his pauper master as if he were a prince. When all other friends desert, well, that dog remains. When riches take wings and reputations fall to pieces, he is as constant in his love as the sun is in its journey through the heavens. Now, if misfortune drives the master forth, an outcast in the world, friendless and homeless, the faithful dog asks no higher privilege than to just be with him to guard against danger and to fight against his enemies. And when the last scene of all comes, and death takes the master in its embrace, and his body is laid away in the cold ground, no matter if all other friends pursue their way, there by the graveside will the noble dog be found, his head between his paws, his eyes sad, but open in alert watchfulness, faithful and true, even in death.
Walter Brennan, from his LP, Dutchman's Gold. It has Old Shep on it, but it would have you blubbing even heavier. Walter Brennan, who, of course, won three times, Best Supporting Actor, which I think is the only person to ever have done that. And that voice, well, he had that voice because he served in the First World War with the Americans and faced an attack of mustard gas. And his voice was never the same at 5:17.
I'm Guy Gavioke, author of Written on the Dark, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
In Winnipeg. Say, I am looking for a rebirth of wonder, and I am looking at A Reader's Book of Days, but before that, good news, you don't get this very often. Barnes & Noble continues, in today's Free Press it says, continues brick-mortar bookstore expansion campaign in the U.S., Now, you may not like Barnes & Noble, but they do some wonderful reprints of the classics as well, and we're glad to see continuing opening of bookstores as opposed to the gradual decline and closing of bookstores. So what has happened here? Four new bookstores in the Chicago area by summertime, part of a national move to revive its brick-and-mortar retail presence. And what happened seems to be, one of the reasons, COVID-19 pandemic gave many readers a new appreciation for gathering places and the kind of community they can't get online. Yes, I'd go along with that at 5:18 as I turn to today, January the 10th would be Saturday, so we'll save that for you because we're going to be back Saturday morning, 6 till 8. Carol and I hope you can join us then live. Now, I see on this day, died on this day in 1642, Galileo Galilei. Upset the Catholic Church, did he not? Dialogue concerning the two chief world systems. Also died in this day in 1896, Paul Verlaine, author of Romance sans Parure, died at the age of 51. Born on this day in 1942, Stephen Hawking. He of A Brief History of Time. How many copies were sold? How many copies were read? And born on this day in 1909, Evelyn Wood. Does that name ring a bell? Speed Reading Impresario. typewriter. Yes, it was Evelyn Wood typing there for you. Speed typing. Just getting there to see music of Leroy Anderson. Richard Heyman and his symphony orchestra from the CD Waltzing Cat. Leroy Anderson, yes. Bugler's Holiday, Marching Cat, Blue Tango, Syncopated Clock. The man was a master. 521. It's from some time ago, but it keeps getting buried, so I'm sharing it with you now. That's from Monday, November 17th, because his new book, young adult novel, set amid abortion debates of 1983 Winnipeg, is Harriet Zaidman now does the children's books for the Winnipeg Public, for the Free Press. And so Martin Zelig said, set in Winnipeg, What Friends Are For, the title, follows 15-year-old Lisa Kramer as she becomes entangled in the emotionally charged debate over abortion, sparked by her mother's activism in the opening of a new clinic in town. So, published by Heritage House. They did a little lunch with Sheila Rogers, very nice, but that book, again, should be in the library. I didn't look that up. What Friends Are For is the title. Now, that title could be used by others. So, the author, Harriet Zaidman, Zaidman, if you're looking for a book for teens, if you're a teen themselves, which we call a young adult, is the term that is used here, as well from today's Free Press. Since this is here, now I don't know the hours, that's the unfortunate part, but it's our gallery here down on the main floor. Gallery 1C03, University of Winnipeg, Centennial Hall. Thought something flashed there, I hear a bing, somebody should go and get it. Lucas Morneau's Queer Newfoundland Hockey League. With Crave's queer hockey series, Heated Rivalry, becoming a crossover television show of the moment. A piece in today's Free Press about that as well, from one of the columnists. Gone mad, she's obsessed with it. So, a good time to skate over to the Gallery 1C03 to catch Lucas Morneau's Queer Newfoundland Hockey League exhibition before its season ends. Little joker, because it's on till January 28th. Now, this Saturday is the 10th of January. Of course, you've got time, yes. And a little write-up here, it talks about Don Cherry, of course, and talks about Jen Zarate, profiled by Jen Zarate in November, well before the internet grew obsessed with that show, which was put together by the man who wrote Letterkenny. Anyways, here on campus, Queer Newfoundland Hockey League, Gallery 1C03, University of Winnipeg, runs till January 28th. A little write-up in today's Free Press by Ben Waldman. You can look for that. As well, I took this out of the local news, the Free Press Community Review West. And that's a new theater festival. We like that. We like to support a new independent theater festival premiere in Winnipeg early this year. All right, February then. Should we call it February? That sounds good to me. Little theater festival at a run on weekends, although I notice a lot of them are Friday and not Sunday, get my drift. So anyways, call it weekends, all right. Throughout February, it will consist of a number of one-act plays over several weekends. Plays will be staged at the Irish Association of Manitoba. Where is that? 654 Aaron Street off Portage Avenue. So the theater companies involved for the festival are Dark Horse Theater, Winnipeg Mennonite Theater, Theater and Play, Odin Theatre Production, RG Productions, and the Tara Players. So details, information, get the dates and times right. Little Theatre Festival, one word, littletheatrefestival.com for more information. I'm Ron Robinson. You've been listening to Pages, Radio for Readers, back Saturday morning, 6 to 8 with Carol. Hope you can join us then. Stay tuned now for Eat Your Arts and Vegetables. Up next, Tony the Brave with Mr. Dave at 6. Leave you with little Leaf Rabbits. And the cut, Virginia.
She packs my lunches in liquor store bags, spends my UNICEF money on Marlboro Light, plays the gold oldies on an ancient transistor and waltzes me around the kitchen at night. Already gone when I wake in the morning, job number one at the first break of day. Note on the fridge says, I love you, Virginia. days get nasty. You offer one drink, but they always want more. She says forlornly, one day I will leave her, stretch out my wings for far. Somehow we swear.